Welcome to this special live edition of From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's show is a live broadcast, and Bishop Campbell will be taking your questions by phone at 614-459-4820. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for this special program at the very beginning of the new year in January. I hope and pray that your Christmas celebration was a blessed one, bringing happiness and joy to you. And to speak about the fact that this coming Sunday, we will end that Christmas season with the baptism of the Lord. And I'd like to make a few thoughts known to you about that Christmas season. It's interesting that the public ministry of our Lord Jesus, covering approximately 3 years, is the subject of most of our liturgical year. But those 30 years that our Lord spent in Nazareth are in fact celebrated in 3 weeks, the so-called hidden life in Nazareth. But that hidden life had a powerful impact on the public ministry that we celebrate when we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. Now, in our liturgical calendar, as we celebrate it here now, that Sunday of the baptism of the Lord does represent a kind of end to the Christmas season, the end of the hidden life in Nazareth, and the beginning of the public ministry. But you have to remember that there was an ancient tradition in the Church that the Christmas season actually extended to Candlemas, which is celebrated on February the 2nd. So that if you have a desire to keep some particularly beautiful Christmas decorations up, I think you have a warrant for this in that ancient tradition. Although if you have a real tree in your house, I would suggest that you watch it very carefully, because after another week, it may be a bit of a danger if you plug in the lights. But during that Christmas season, we celebrate three very interesting events. And in fact, in the Eastern Christian tradition, what we celebrated this past Sunday as Epiphany, the 6th of January, was actually a celebration for them of not only the visit of the three kings, but also celebration of the baptism of the Lord and the wedding feast at Cana. It's an interesting combination because it does touch upon the mystery of the nativity of the Lord, but also upon his entrance into public ministry and the first miracle that he performed in that ministry. And there is a common theme that runs through all of these marvelous feast days that we celebrate during the Christmas season. In Epiphany, obviously, the stress is upon light, upon our Lord as the light to the nations. Of course, the symbol was this for us was the star that the wise men, the magi, discovered and followed. And in addition to light in the baptism of the Lord, there is the image of water, of cleansing, of a fulfillment, really, of the preaching of John the Baptist. The baptism of repentance now becomes a baptism of new life in Jesus Christ. And then at the wedding feast of Cana, the first miracle that our Lord performs in his public ministry, we find that he has changed water into wine. That, in fact, becomes a sign of what he wants to do with our lives, to transfigure them from the water of ordinary life into the wine of the kingdom. So this Christmas season has a very rich theological meaning as that prelude to the public ministry of Jesus Christ, which would come to a culmination in his suffering and death and resurrection and ascension. I think one of the themes that follows as we consider the meaning of the Christmas season and we come to its conclusion is that of light and new life. Once my Magi had discovered the child and fell down in adoration and offered their gifts, which was the offer of all that they had, the star disappears. It is no longer needed to us because Christ is the light. And those who know Christ, hear him, look upon him, find in him the perfect guidance. And as part of this, I asked a group of school children to answer the question, how does God guide them in their day-to-day life? That light that has been given to us, the water of new life, and the invitation to transform our lives from the water of everyday life to the wine of the kingdom. And the children that we asked were fifth graders at St. Brendan the Navigator School in Hilliard. And I would invite you to listen to their thoughts on this, because it's obviously something they've thought about. And I should like to have you hear them.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Brooke. He helps us get through the day, and whenever you're in trouble or need help, you always have someone to call on, and that person is God.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Ava. I think that God guides me day by day because when I pray in the morning, I hear God tell me what I should do and how I should act on that day.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Grace. I think God guides me day by day by urging us to do the right thing. We don't always make right decisions, but he helps us to do them when we are tempted to sin.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Nate. I think God guides me day by day in prayer and making good choices throughout the day.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Addison. I think that God guides me day by day because whenever my life gets hard, I always try my best and I can feel that God is there helping me through that hard time.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Mark. God guides me in prayer, in the sacraments, and by being one of his children, and leads me into the light of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Seth. I think God guides me to make the right choices. When I need to make a good choice, I always ask God for help.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Gabby. God guides us day by giving us a conscience. Conscience is the choice we make between right and wrong. He also guides us through prayer.
I want to thank Catherine Gaddis and Lori Smith, who were the teachers of these fifth graders, and thank the children for sharing their thoughts with us. And you may notice that as you listen to the children, there are certain common threads. One is a marvelous trust in the nearness of God through Jesus Christ. And this is one of the great teachings of our Christmas celebration, that in Jesus Christ, God became one of us. He became a neighbor to us. He became like us. And as the church fathers used to say, Jesus became like us that we might become like him. And added to this trust in the Lord's presence is that sense of light. As you heard, one of the students mentioned conscience that is enlightened by the presence of God, and in fact is the place where we most intimately meet God and hear God's voice. There's also the stress upon liturgy and prayer, that are so important for us to learn how God speaks, how near he is, and the ability to wait for that answer. So as we begin a new season, it's called Ordinary Time, but that is not an adequate term, especially given the connotation that we have in our modern English, which comes to mean for many people, oh hum. But ordinary means in liturgical language that which begins to shape and give order to our lives. And when we remember that we have celebrated the great burst of light in the Epiphany, the renewal and promise of new life in the baptism of the Lord, and the transformation that can take place within him that we noticed at the wedding feast at Cana, let us then look forward to these coming weeks as an opportunity to be guided by our Lord, to seek to shape our lives according to his, and to become in our everyday lives and in our everyday speech a kind of magnification of the Lord who is Emmanuel, God is with us. So I'm here with our host, David Martin, and I'm ready for questions that might be coming our way.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell. We do have callers with questions. Just to remind our listeners, if you'd like to reach Bishop Campbell with your question about living the Catholic faith, you can call now at 614-459-4820 to participate in this live show. Bishop Lori from St. Joseph Plain City has a question for you.
Hello, Lori.
Good evening, Bishop Campbell, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yes.
And I'm an active Catholic who's faithful to the sacraments, but I'm realizing more and more how much venial sin can slow us down on our spiritual journey and everyday life. So can you share some advice for eradicating those pesky everyday venial sins that hold us back from our walk with Christ and growth and virtue?
Yes. Well, as some spiritual writers mentioned, venial sins are a convenient doorway to major problems. But have you noticed that most of our venial sins are habitual? That is, we cannot remember the first time we did that, but it has become so habitual that it becomes second nature. And I think one of the ways to combat a venial act that has become habitual is to bring to mind at the beginning of the day the situations in which these habitual things seem to poke their head out in our lives, but to take one after another of them and just simply work on them. Ask ourselves, what prompts these? What is it doing to my everyday life? And you do it a little at a time. And sometimes I think we have to simply stop and think about the meaning of our acts and to make them a little more deliberate. I've often said that sometimes a Christian tongue should look like Swiss cheese from biting it all the time. So, you know, it becomes an everyday activity. But also intersperse your day with what we used to call pious thoughts, or just, you know, say things like, Jesus, I trust in you. Or, Lord, grant me a tongue that is offered to your praise. Or, you know, when you're in a situation where you know you're going to begin to do that, just say, Lord, allow me to remember who I am and that you are near. And simple things like that, and I think it will direct our attention. Okay?
Very good. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Okay. God bless.
Bishop, we have Katie from St. Patrick's in Columbus. Katie, welcome to From the Chair.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell.
Yes.
I was wondering, when you have had to make important decisions in your life, like even this time of year, do you have a particular set of prayers that you go to, or a novena, a special saint's intercession that you prefer?
Well, you know, sometimes the large decisions, especially vocational decisions, are made over a period of time. it sometimes you stop and you realize that there has been an accumulation of events that have pointed in a particular direction. And it's really remaining alert to these and how sometimes through other people the message should come. So you began a manner of listening. And sometimes that comes out of daily prayer most effectively. Also, I think that in making a decision like that, we have to realize that one of the indications of a wise person is one who seeks advice, who seeks counsel from others who have perhaps gone through the same situation or has some advice to offer. So, you know, you have people you can go to that you trust, that obviously have had experience and are known to be prudent people. But sometimes we have to be patient and wait for the opportunity to come when the decision can be made. And often it's only after the decision is made that you come to realize you've made the correct one. And one of the signs that I think that you've made the correct decision is the gift of peace. Are you at peace now that the decision is made? Because it took me quite a while to make a decision to enter the seminary. And I will tell you, after I made the decision, it was 6 months later, I knew I was exactly where the Lord wanted me to be. So it's trust, it's listening, seeking good advice, and prayer. Okay? Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell, for your time.
Bishop, in your example, 6 months after you made your decision to enter the priesthood, it was really then that you recall having that deep peace.
Yes.
So it didn't come immediately, necessarily.
Well, it doesn't come immediately because everything is so new.
Yeah.
And in fact, not only did I change my state of life, I moved halfway across the country for it. But after a while, I felt like I had been there for the rest for all of my life.
That comfortable.
Yes. I don't want to call it comfortable because Christians shouldn't be comfortable, but they should be at peace. And I think there's a difference. You know, it's a difference of feeling that you're in the right place, where comfortable is the feeling that you've got the right barca lounger.
Yeah. Well, I think it's helpful, though, that not only to be patient on the answer, but in your example, to even be patient once you've made a decision to let the Lord work in
right.
it for a while.
Right.
And then see.
Right.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to reach Bishop Campbell to ask him questions about discernment or about venial sins or anything else involving the Christian life that we live, feel free to call us now at 614-459-4820 on From the Chair. Bishop Molly from St. Thomas the Apostle Parish is with us.
Hello, Molly.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. It's good to speak with you.
Okay, you.
I have a question about saying yes to God. So Abraham, Moses, mm-hmm. Mary, with the moment of the Annunciation, the disciples, the saints, and even you in your saying yes to your calling, all of those singular yeses are so impactful on salvation history and on the church as we know her today.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to say yes to God, daily mass, adoration, my prayer life. But sometimes I wonder if my small and humble yeses are really enough. And when I begin to wonder if they are enough and I doubt myself, then I begin to pull back from God, which is the exact opposite of what I want to do. So how can I be more trusting that my small and humble yeses are what God is looking for from me?
Right. Well, keep in mind that the big yeses that we now remember in history are so well known because of historians that when they were first given, they were given not because they would create such a huge effect, but they were given because this was what God wanted them to do, and to do it where they were in sometimes the most humble settings. I do not believe that Joseph and Mary, when they said yes to God, had any idea about the impact of it. In fact, you notice when Mary is told that she was called to be the mother of God, she didn't say that God couldn't do this. He was. She said, well, she accepted the fact that God could, but she wondered, well, how is this going to happen? Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, and she had to treasure all of these things in her heart that we are told three times in sacred scripture, the treasuring of it until she could think and whatnot. She herself had no sense of the impact of her yes, I think, until the, she was witness to the resurrection of her son.
Okay.
And part of the understanding of faith and confidence in God is understanding that in Jesus Christ we've run won the victory, and it will be manifest in the last day.
Okay.
And therefore, in that trust and confidence, no matter what good we do, no matter how small, is a contribution to that victory of Jesus Christ in our own times and lives.
Okay.
So you just never do. I think our motive should not be on the wide effect that we hope this would have, but actually the hope that the good that we do is good and it touches another person. Yeah, so.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Oh! Oh, dear. Am I that well known?
No. No, that was, so I have to tell you, and Dave will tell you, I came up with this question a couple days ago, and then I started worrying about it. So then I had a wonderful second question, which you completely addressed in your introduction. So
wow.
I had to go back to the first one. So, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
<It's a gamble.
laughs> Well, just remember that with God, there are no coincidences.
Okay.
They are simply events in which God wishes to remain anonymous.
Okay, thank you, Bishop Campbell.
Okay, God bless.
Thank you, Molly.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bishop, we have a call from St. Mary's in Urbana. Sienna from St. Mary's is now on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Bishop Campbell. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to my predicament. I am the mother of four children. My youngest child was the only one who wasn't confirmed, and he made a promise to go through his confirmation classes as soon as he graduated from college, which when he came home from college, he started his classes. He also came home with a girlfriend that he had met who lives close by, and she also attended the classes with him, and I was thrilled that they were going to go through with their learning and be confirmed. Well, a week before confirmation, this was last year, he came to me and said that they had decided together that they weren't quite ready, that their faith wasn't strong enough to be confirmed. So my heart was broken, but I pray every day for him, and I love him so much. There isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do for him. But now here's the problem. They have gone to different churches and not Catholic, and they are now in an Episcopal church. And when I told my son, I said, honey, I said, those aren't our beliefs. I said, we believe marriage is a sacrament. Mm-hmm. We believe that abortion is wrong. We believe that with God, all things are possible. And that church was started by a king. I said, that wasn't, the roots don't go back to Jesus. Well. I said, and everything in the Bible is answered. And all of our sacraments are so holy. And the Eucharist is so important. It's the main reason of the Mass. And I pray so much. I know in time all of my children will return to the faith, because that's the only way there is. Mm-hmm. And I know that God will answer my prayers. But the problem is now he wants to get married, and he's not going to do it in the Catholic Church. And I know that in the Catholic Church the marriage would be called invalid, and I so want to support him in every way I can, but I also know that it's against my faith. But I love my children so much, and it's causing problems because my one son agrees with me 100%.
Well,
but my two daughters think that I should just go along with it because it's more important to support him. So what do you do?
Well, what I would suggest is that you tell them simply, and it's always a loving gesture to speak the truth, that it would be difficult for you to witness a marriage that may on the surface of it not be valid, but you still wish them the good. And
I wish them good, and I wish them luck, and I love them, and I know that someday they will return.
Well, then I would encourage them, and you know, you might just say that I want to be with you, maybe, you know, at the reception and whatnot, to wish you well on this. But I think you just make it plain that you are torn by this, but your love for them is never going to be doubted.
No, my love for them will never end, no matter
right.
what.
Okay.
No matter what, I'll always love them.
Right.
But it's everybody saying, oh, but you've got to go, you know, and it's
well,
like.
But you can go later in a kind of gesture, just of showing your love. Have some wedding cake with them. And so, okay.
Just don't attend the ceremony.
Yeah. That's a difficult part of it because, you know, on the surface of it, they are he would be obligated to the Catholic form of marriage. So that's what I'd suggest. But you always want to make it in a way that you're showing your continuing love for them.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Again, this is From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. If you would like to reach us with your question, you can call us at 614-459-4820. Bishop Mark from St. Joan of Arc Parish has a question for you.
Hello, Mark.
Good afternoon, Bishop, and thanks for taking my call. My question, Bishop, it deals with the Holy Spirit, and it's... my question is, how does the Holy Spirit, working with God the Father and Jesus the Son, provide us counsel and guide us in our prayer life?
Okay. Well, I think there are a number of important ways. First of all, we have to remember that the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that always draws us directly to Jesus Christ. That if any inspiration of the Spirit does not do that, it's not the inspiration of the Spirit. The Spirit also allows us to understand through a gift of enlightenment, perhaps in a very profound way, the words that we speak. Or it gives us a light by which we learn how to ask for the things that we truly need and are part of the will of God for us. The Spirit also grants us consolation, because sometimes we pray and ask for particular things, and they don't seem to come. And maybe the Spirit is there to encourage us to wait upon God's goodwill. I sometimes think that when people pray the Lord's Prayer and they say, "Thy will be done," really, in the back of their mind, they're saying, this is exactly how I want you to reveal it to me. But it's that sense of patience, and the Spirit is there to guide us. But the Spirit is always drawing us toward Jesus Christ and through him to the adoration of the Father. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that the sacraments take their effect as well. So it's a number of ways that we see a consolation of the Spirit. But sometimes we have to just quiet ourselves and pray for that opening. And we may be very well surprised, because we, in our prayer, we may be praying, to grant us a peace, praying to know that the name of Jesus will be known and loved. And it may happen in a way that we may not expect, but we will know it when it happens. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment of profound peace or extraordinary joy. Those are gifts of the Spirit as well. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay?
I appreciate your answer. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, God bless you.
Thank you.
Mark, thank you for that great question about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a break now and hear from some of our AM 820 sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to answer more of your questions about living the Catholic faith here on From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to sarahcolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, columbus.org.
All of our advances in social networking and communication are amazing, but if we don't keep it all in place, we might end up in touch with the news of the day, 1,000, quote, friends online, and 1,000,000 work emails, but we lose touch with the most important things in life, like the people right in front of us, and God revealing himself to us through the experiences of daily life. I know it's not easy, but you have to seize the silence. Carve out moments to unplug, read a book, say a prayer, or just stand in the sun and take a deep breath. All the noise will be waiting for you when you're done, but you'll face it all a little differently. In the words of Mother Teresa, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. If you don't have peace, go back to step one. Got silence? This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio invites you and your loved ones to join us for a special live radio event.
An event to turn up our faith and to get us involved.
Listen in this Friday and Saturday to AM 820 as we host the Catholic Women's and Men's Conference registration kickoff.
Let's make this year's conferences better than ever.
We'll have volunteers on hand to take your registration.
You'll hear from the conference speakers.
You'll also hear from men and women like you and I who've been touched by attending the Catholic Women's and Men's Conferences.
Be sure to invite your friends to tune in as well.
So listen in this Friday and Saturday to the Catholic Women's and Men's Conference registration kickoff right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. I'm your host, David Martin, where we entertain your questions to Bishop Campbell about living the Catholic faith. You can call us right here on St. Gabriel Radio at 614-459-4820 with your questions for Bishop Campbell during this live show. Bishop Pete from St. Patrick's Parish has a question. That's Pete from St. Patrick's.
Okay. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop? With the current ongoing news about the church, can you give us your perspective on what's really going on right now And then what every Catholic should be proud of, and thereby why we should remain in and invite people to join the Catholic Church. And what are those things that the laity can tell their friends and family that are attractive, beautiful, and worth joining?
Oh, well, there are a number of things. And I've often told people when I've been asked, why are you a Catholic? I tell them that, you know, your question seems to come and demand an answer which speaks in a very subjective way. The Catholic Church has always been a source of great consolation for me, a great joy, a wonderful meeting of other people, beautiful tradition. But I'm a Catholic fundamentally because I believe it is true. And it's the truth that will set me free. It's the truth that will bring me to salvation. And that truth is Jesus Christ. And he's present within the Catholic Church in his sacred word that is read out and spoken in the Holy Sacraments, and especially in the Eucharistic body and blood of our Lord. This is where I began. I secondly say that I have not joined a community that is filled with already declared saints. And, you know, I have to be honest with the fact that many of the things that have happened, especially in the recent past, have very deeply affected me and saddened me. But my faith in my membership in the church is based on my faith in the word of Jesus Christ, who will work even through the weakest of the members. But it also is a goad for us all to remember that the universal vocation of all members of the church is holiness. And it is a way by which we constantly return to that life to which we are called. How do we pursue holiness? How do we struggle with it, especially in our weaknesses? What are the strengths that we have to depend on? For our membership in the church is not a grant of prestige or power. It is the opportunity to know the holiness of God through Jesus Christ, and to be empowered to seek it for ourselves. And there's no other place. And we have to face the great difficulties. They're more than embarrassing. They're deeply humbling. But we have to remember that Christ in all of this is still present and calling to us. And it's the more that we realize that and a humble faith embrace it, the more others will understand that it is Christ who is the body of the church. And in that fashion, every person living the reality of the Catholic tradition is going to be a missionary of the true meaning of that church. But I'm a member because I know it to be true, and knowing it to be true, it's a source of great consolation and great joy, even in the midst of some dark, dark moments. Does that help?
Yeah, that's great. And I know you're a historian. I was a history major at the UCLA, and I often tell people that the church survived the Medicis and the Borgias. We can get through this, you know?
Yeah, well, there were some even worse times, but I remember once quoting that to my brother when he was getting upset, and I said, well, you know, this is not as bad as the 4th century threat of Arianism. And he said, oh, don't quote that to me. I wasn't living in the 4th century. I'm living right now.
It's all recycled. Hey, thanks, Your Excellency.
Okay.
And don't retire anytime soon, will you?
God bless now. Take care.
Thanks, Pete. Bishop Mary Therese from St. Christopher Parish has a question.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening, Bishop Campbell. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I wonder if you can speak to how to make Eucharistic adoration more fruitful. It's a practice that I attempt, but I find it really difficult to sit still and to concentrate, and my mind kind of wanders off into a variety of areas. And so I feel like I'm not doing the best that I could with it and wish I could do better. Mm-hmm. So do you have any suggestions in that regard?
Well, you know, you're asking about one of the most difficult aspects of the development of our prayer, and that's distraction.
Uh-huh.
Especially in our world where we believe we have to be busy, that there's something we've got to do, and the value of our lives is in what we're doing rather than in what we are and being. And I think sometimes we have to have a kind of change of attitude within ourselves and say to ourselves, well, I need to know who I am before I can know what I am to do. You know, being precedes activity. So, you know, we have to do change our attitude, but we have to keep in mind that in the world we live in, given our own ability to sit quietly, we have certain devices we just learned to use. The first thing is that in going to adoration, we realize that we are sitting there in the presence of the Lord. And as our Lord told Martha, your sister Mary has chosen the better portion. And he said the better one, not the only one, but the better one in that moment. Secondly, in adoration, we come to realize that the nearness we may experience in that moment is actually an experience we should be having throughout our lives. That God is Emmanuel. He is with us in Jesus Christ. So look upon it as a training exercise for expanding that sense of nearness to God. Thirdly, use some things that will help you. I would suggest that you take in a copy of the Bible, and I, in the presence of the Lord, read about His Word, meditate on His Word. He's speaking to you in that Bible, and I would, you know, go through it very slowly. I always ask people who are learning first to meditate with sacred scripture. You ask three questions. What is the meaning of the verse? Secondly, what does it say to me? And thirdly, what must I now do? And
Thank you
begin a dialogue with the Lord. So try that, okay?
I will. Thank you so much, Bishop. I really appreciate that.
Well, God bless.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary Therese, for such a wonderful question. Bishop, Kathy from St. Andrew also has a question.
Okay. Kathy, hello.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. Well, Bishop, as the Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, you are the shepherd of a flock of thousands of Catholics.
Right.
And today's gospel reading is about Jesus feeding a crowd of 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, where do you find, besides the Word, besides the Bible, besides the Scriptures, where do you find the support and the encouragement personally to proclaim the kingdom, to continue shepherding the flock and feeding us spiritually and many people physically as well?
Well, I didn't expect that question, but but let me begin with the place where I think I have to begin as a bishop, and that is the celebration of the Holy Eucharist with the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is most firmly experienced when I meet at a very special occasion where I'm with my priests and my deacons and with all of the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, you sense what the church is. And it's a very joyful experience. And you realize that that church is structured in a particular way, but all in the name of our Heavenly Father, in the presence of Jesus Christ, and through the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from that Eucharist, being with the people of God, that mm-hmm. I began to realize that one of my first responsibilities is to preach the Word, and I take that very seriously. And then,
yes, and I have heard you preach numerous times, and I have to say that each time it was not only a blessing, but it went beyond that to where it inspired me to share your message with other folks as well. So thank you so much
for that.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. But then beyond that, I love meeting with people. I love to be with the people, and especially in very special settings. You may have mm-hmm. caught on that one of the great joys of my episcopacy here is visiting school children.
Yes.
And I love being with them because sometimes, well, I tell them, I always give the school children a chance to ask the bishop questions. Because when I was mm-hmm. growing up, when I was their age, I met my bishop once and he asked me all the questions at confirmation. And of course, they ask the usual ones. What is the meaning of that hat, or is that stick?
Right. Apparel.
But every once in a while, and I'll remember this very clearly. I was at a school mass, and at the end, I was asking the questions. And of course, here were children age from 5 to 18, all the way up through high school. And at the very last question that was asked of me was a boy who sat just staring at me, almost in the front pew. He was in first grade, and I was ending up, and his hand shot into the air. And he said, "Bishop, I have a question. How did you learn about God?"
Wow.
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 From a six-year-old child. Now that makes my day. But it's being with them, and also, you know, being in the wider world. My education was by and large in the secular world, but even in the secular world, I noticed that there's a deep hunger mm-hmm. for God, and I love to feel that, and I pray that God give me the power to make myself available, that when that desire comes to speech, and I am asked.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, and of course, you know, I one of my responsibilities is to call others within the church to their own responsibilities, to the church, to others, and to the world. So.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, I have firsthand experience your presence at a school mass. Because I worked at Bishop Watterson for over 20 years, and you came regularly there, as well as now I have granddaughters at Our Lady of Bethlehem Preschool.
Oh, God love them over there.
Yes, and you came and you read them the story of Jesus' birth last Christmas.
Yes.
And my granddaughter told me, "Granny, I have met the bishop." And I said, you mean Bishop Campbell? And she said, "No, Granny, the bishop. Bishop with a P," she said. And so I have to tell you that. And then the other thing I would like to tell you is this. St. Andrew's Women's Group has a retreat at St. Teresa's Shrine every November. And the end of the retreat is a prayer service to the saints. And that is how we end the retreat, where the belief is that the saint picks you. We have a basket with all mm-hmm. these saints' names in, as well as a little description and a prayer intention. And so the belief is, at the end of the litany of the saints, and some folks share what happened last year, well, then we all walk forward and we pick a piece of paper out of this basket. And this year, then, the saint that I received, or the saint that picked me, is a Saint Francois de Laval. He was born in 1600.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Jesuit. He was part of the foreign mission, and he was ordained and was the Bishop of Quebec. And at the time, it was a town of only about 500 people.
Right.
Anyhow, the prayer intention that I have is to pray for your bishop.
Oh, okay.
So I want you to know I have prayed daily, whether it's a rosary or an Our Father, a Hail Mary, for you specifically.
Well, thank
you. Since November. Well, you're very welcome, and my prayer is that you will be blessed through the end of your term here, as well as whatever you do in retirement, and for your health, your happiness, and your holiness as well in the new year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, God, you're very welcome.
God bless.
God bless, too. Thanks for answering my question. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you, Kathy Bishop. I hope that Kathy has her granddaughter also pray for her bishop. The bishop.
Yeah,
that would be beautiful.
I remember being there once. This is several years ago, and I was visiting with the kindergarten kids, and I came in, and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And most of them just stared at me, but one young fellow raised his hand. He said, "I know who you are. You are the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, D.D., Ph.D., Bishop of Columbus."
Holy cow.
And I thought, that couldn't have been a revelation from God. He must have seen the title someplace. But
yeah. Impressive.
And then he just sat down.
Well, on that note, we're going to hear from a few of our sponsors, but we'll be right back with more From the Chair.
A prayer for the St. Gabriel Radio Ministry. We thank you for the ministry of St. Gabriel's Radio, and for the grace to boldly proclaim the gospel truths, so the ordinary moments in each listener's life may be transformed by the truths heard. Bless, strengthen, and free our listeners from all fear. Give them a spirit of generosity, so they may be part of this ministry through their prayer and sacrificial offerings, so the needs of this ministry may be abundantly met, and the work of this ministry may continue through them, with them, and for them. May St. Gabriel Catholic Radio continue to honor you and shine with your glory. May it be a voice that speaks your uncompromised truth with love. May it proclaim Christ so many are brought into the kingdom, and all who listen will find peace of heart and lasting joy.
Did you know that your body has a theology? Love talk is everywhere these days. We read stories about love. Love songs fill the airwaves. We long for someone we can love and be loved by. Our desire to know love is endless, it seems. As it turns out, Pope St. John Paul II agreed. He wrote, "The human person cannot live without love. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him, if he does not encounter love." So when I say to my friend, "I love you," I'm not saying I love you because you give me things or because you're so good looking. Those reasons may describe the person, but it's not who they really are. Authentic love is saying yes to something good that is naturally attractive. This inner goodness is a reflection of divine love.
I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. I'm your host, David Martin. We welcome your questions about living the Catholic faith in this live call-in show. You can reach us at 614-459-4820 in these last few minutes of our hour. Bishop Donna from St. Peter's in Chillicothe has a question for you.
Hello, Donna.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. I hope you're having a wonderful new year. My question, I think you've touched on some of this question already, but I was thinking about God in my day-to-day life, and sometimes God seems silent. And how do I know he is guiding me if I don't really feel him? And, you know, even in prayer, sometimes you know, I'm just not sure. Or if a word comes to me, how do I know it's God in that silence that is answering me and not something from Satan or another being?
Well, you know, you've asked two questions, but I think they're interrelated. One is that our prompting to prayer is always a prompting of faith. We are called to prayer because we've made a fundamental act of faith in God. It's a it's an act of trust and confidence. And we don't come to prayer expecting that we're going to be repaid, that somehow we want an answer right away. We come to prayer because it's an expression of our faith. God always hears a prayer, but he comes to answer when it is both appropriate and for our good, and according to his greater good. So, you know, our prayers has to be rooted in that sense that it's something we express because of faith and because of what already God has done for us, given us our life, given us the means to sustain them, given us new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for this. The second question, then, if we hear something in prayer, if we receive a response, how do we know it's the prompting of the Spirit? Well, one of the testing is to ask yourself, does this, in fact, encourage a greater sense of the teaching of Jesus? Or is it something that is not found in Jesus, that it is simply not of Christ? So, and if there is doubt, seek good advice from a wise spiritual advisor.
Okay.
Because the Spirit never speaks anything that contradicts what we know through Jesus Christ. And, you know, there are spirits out there that do not wish us well. And remember, the devil is the father of lies.
Okay. And then in our silence, if I'm, you know, I'm having a day and I'm just feeling like I'm not really feeling God in my day, do you have a suggestion for how do I turn that around and know that Christ is with me?
Well, he is. He's with you always. You might pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament to reassure you.
There you go.
But then also be thankful sometimes after a very hectic day that you have a moment of silence.
Silence
can be a gift. Okay? Well, God bless. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Bishop Campbell. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Donna. Bishop, many of the great saints went through periods of...
Yeah, the dark night of the soul, yes.
So that's not an uncommon experience that Donna's raising. We just don't hear God so distinctly, right?
Right. Well, also, we all experience those moments. And besides, you know, I remember something that a nurse told me about visiting a cancer patient. The cancer patient said, "Oh, sister, I just received news that I have a tumor the size of a baseball." And he then looked at the nurse and said, "I think God's bigger than the tumor."
I love it. Thank you, Bishop.
Okay.
And thanks to all our listeners for being with us for this hour of From the Chair with Bishop Campbell. We invite you to join us again next month when we return. Special thanks to the fifth grade students of St. Brendan the Navigator School and their teachers, Ms. Gaddis and Ms. Smith. And we look forward to being with you again next month. Please stay tuned now for 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live right here on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.